You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. As always, I'm your host, Mark King, for this show, Monday mailbag edition of the podcast. You guys ask questions. I got a few of them. We'll do that today. Got another great week lined up for you guys. Matt Herlicka is going to be on the show this week, as well as Peter Edmondson of Sports 56 and previous host of this very show. So those two guys will be on the show. I might get another guest at the end of the week. So we will play that by ear. There will be no show tomorrow. Just like last week, they're going to take Tuesday off. I hope you guys enjoy this Memorial Day edition of the Monday Mailbag. Before we get too far, you can make sure you go to the Apple iTunes store and subscribe. You can get Locked On Grizzlies on the brand new podcasting app Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. And when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Grizzlies. It will put the latest episode very cool right there. Also, if you have a moment, please go rate and review this show in iTunes. It really helps our rankings in that as well. Getting to the questions today, let's start off with this one comes from GrizzFan on Twitter. I'm about 90% sure Jonas is just talking and bluffing when he says he needs to see who the head coach is and whether Mike will be back. Do you think... what percentage sure are you, if at all, that he will be back? This actually says, I don't see him turning down the option. What percentage are you sure, if at all? I guess that's a weird question. I think you mean, what percentage will he be back? I'm pretty sure he'll be back. It would shock me, I think, at this point. I'm getting less and less sure as the time goes by. I thought if one of those things, if you're going to do it, you might as well just do it. So as the time goes by and gets closer to June 13, yes, I am less and less sure that he will be back, but I still think it's probably, I'd put it, if I had to guess, 65, 70% that he'll still be back. Like that's where I'd put it at this point. I would be surprised still if he didn't come back. It's a lot of money to turn down for Jonas Valanciunas. And I think, even if he turns it down, I just don't see him getting that type of money on the open market. I mean, he goes out on the open market, I think he's getting 12 to 13, 14, something, maybe highest at $15 million a year. I'd still see him around 12 to 14, somewhere out there around there for, Jonas Valanciunas as a yearly contract. I know like Joe Mullenix and I had this very heated discussion earlier in the year about this, but I don't see it. I mean, I know that Jonas is great and he plays hard and it's awesome, but it just, his skill set is very repeatable. I mean, it's not like he's got something that's, very, very unique. It is a very repeatable skill, and it's something that's needed. Don't get me wrong. It's something that you definitely need in this NBA, someone to rebound, play hard, set screens, all that kind of stuff. But it's something that it's not so hard that you can't pay someone else, a little bit less money to do the exact same thing. So that's why I would be shocked if he didn't opt into this, just because of the fact that, I don't think he'll get that much money on the open market. And the only thing I think that would be potentially why he hasn't already opted in is that they're working on some type of extension. But again, he can do that extension like any time. So that's also why, every day that goes, it gets growingly more concerned, because you think you would just go ahead and do it. Again, you can work on that extension at any time. So hope that answers your question. Next question is from Vince on Twitter. Do you think that we will utilize Kyle Anderson in a Draymond Green offensive role, secondary ball handler, and screen man rolling? They tried to do that some last year with Kyle Anderson doing the kind of basically point forward, if you will. And I love that. I loved when they used Kyle on the ball more, because you got to think that Kyle is not a shooter. He's not someone that, his best ability or the way he shines is when with him on the ball. I think that adds another problem now that you have Ja Morant coming in, or let's say probably have Ja Morant coming in, because Ja Morant is so ball dominant as well. So I think that changes things, that you have Ja Morant coming in, Delon Wright also. Both of those guards are very ball dominant. So I think that changes the game a little bit. I think that changes the way you play Kyle. but I'd still like to see them utilize Kyle in the secondary, in just kind of a point forward like we did last year. Put him in screen and rolls. I mean, if the Grizzlies can somehow ever find some significant shooters, again, CJ Miles is coming back, so you know he will be a shooter on the floor. But if you we talked about this all season with Kyle Anderson and Jaren Jackson, and you put Ja Morant out there, and Ja Morant can make shots. You put them in a pick and roll, and you have shooters all around them. That's a deadly combination, because Kyle can get to the basket. Kyle can pass really well. Ja Morant can. I mean, the passing ability on this team will be very, very impressive with Ja Morant. DeLon Wright can pass the ball really well. Kyle Anderson can pass the ball really well. Jaren Jackson can actually pass the ball really well. It's a very underrated skill that he has. So I think that will be something that I hope to see next year, is if we can get Kyle Anderson in more of a point forward role. That would be ideal. But again, I think it complicates things whenever you have someone like Ja Morant coming in to be able to use, you know, utilize the ball more, be on the ball more. With you know, they're going to put him in pick and rolls with Jaren Jackson Jr. And then you kind of have to you have Kyle Anderson just kind of sitting out there. So maybe that means Kyle Anderson moves to the bench. I don't think you have to start Kyle Anderson with this squad. I don't think that's something that has to be done. So maybe the Kyle Anderson is the first guy off the bench. You're able to use him in a point forward role off the bench, a secondary ball handler off the bench. That kind of, again, complicates thing with DeLon Wright. What will you do with DeLon Wright? I think you can play DeLon Wright and Ja Morant together. I think that's something that's possible. So again, these are all things they'll work through in training camp. And it just really, you know, depends on what, you know, if it depends on what happens with Avery Bradley as well. Like I said before, I think they will most likely buy him out as well. That would surprise me to see him back in a Grizz uniform this upcoming season. But that's something that they'll have to work through. I think they'll try to do it. I don't know what will happen, but you know, this is also all contingent upon what head coach. I mean, we don't know who the coach is going to be, and so that also is an issue, because we don't know what kind of coaching style he's going to have, or she. We have no idea what's going to happen with that coach and what kind of style they're going to want to implement for this team. So that's a big part of it as well, with the way they play Kyle. And this is all obviously pure speculation at this point. We're in the end of May right now. We have a long way to go. So this is all pure speculation, but that will all change. If you have a coach that prioritizes point guards and their ball handling skills, and someone like Kyrie, and wanting to get them to get shots and wanting them to make plays, you have someone that prioritizes that over wings. I mean, all of that changes depending on who the coach is. So I would say that, you know, that would my roundabout answer is yes, I hope they do it more. Could I foresee that? Absolutely. Could it change 100% depending on the coach? Absolutely. And could it change? Could we look up in February or in January, February of next year and realize that maybe Kyle Anderson just doesn't fit this team anymore with the addition of Ja Morant, and with, you know, they bring in DeLon Wright? Maybe Kyle Anderson just isn't what this team needs, and maybe he's a guy they'd start looking to trade. So all that's possible for the Grizzlies. I definitely, all that's possible for sure. Let's take a quick break. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll answer a few more questions. Remember, get this show every day. Subscribe to Locked On Grizzlies on the new Himalaya podcast app. And then ever-expanding podcast world, you need Himalaya with their personally curated playlists and new features every single day. Download Himalaya at your app store and subscribe to Locked On Grizzlies. We'll be right back. Today's show is brought to you in part by Hotels.com. Don't hate your friend's trip. Book your own with Hotels.com and get rewarded basically everywhere. Hotels.com. Be there. Do that. Get rewarded. Today's show is also brought to you by Grip 6, where their goal is to literally make the best belts that's ever been made. Grip 6 is an easy, thoughtful gift for dads, brothers, husbands, uncles, grandpas, and even mothers and wives if they see their women's collection. ultra lightweight with no holes, no flap, and it carries a low profile with a buckle laying flat against the waist, making the belt super comfortable. Grip 6 is the only belt with no holes, no flap, and no bulk. Grip 6 has a special offer for you at grip6.com/lock. That's grip6.com/LOCKE. Welcome back to the show. Again, we're doing a Monday mailbag edition of the show. We only have a couple more questions. Again, I had everybody ask me anything you wanted on Twitter. We have a couple questions about myself personally. I have a question about Avengers Endgame, which I'm not going to answer because I already answered them in last week's Monday mailbag about Avengers Endgame. So I would say see last week's Monday's episode of the show to get that answer about Avengers Endgame. So we'll get through a few more of these. The next one is from Will. This is via email. This is a long question. So bear with me as I read it. Will says, in summary, I'm not going to read it all, that John Morant might not be as good as everyone is saying, that he's only projected to go top in this draft because of the draft being weak. How would I rank John Morant in comparison to other point guards who were taken in the top 10 over the past couple years? This will be ranked as a prospect, not actually what they've seen them do in the NBA. Here's the list he gives me. John Morant, Trey Young, Markel Fultz, Lonzo Ball, De'Aaron Fox, Frank Ntilikina, Dennis Smith Jr., Colin Sexton, and Luka Doncic. I don't know if Luka Doncic is a point guard, to be quite honest. He's more of a wing, but either way, we will we'll start to answer this. I'll try to rank these as best I can. I will let's start from the bottom, and we'll go up. I will put I'd probably put Markel Fultz at the bottom just because we really haven't seen. I guess you say we can't do what we've seen in the NBA, but. Either way, I'd still put Markel Fultz at the bottom. Markel Fultz and Lonzo Ball at the bottom. I'm not a Lonzo Ball fan at all. Not even close. I just don't think he's going to be good. I like my point guards to be able to shoot, and Lonzo cannot do that. That last shot that he has won't last. After that, I'd probably go Frank Ntilikina and then Colin Sexton. That gets those two out of the way. I'd probably put Luka after that. I don't know if he's a point guard or not, but I'd probably put Luka after that. Then I'm left with De'Aaron Fox, Dennis Smith Jr., John Morant, and Trey Young. I would probably put John Morant next, Dennis Smith Jr., De'Aaron Fox, then Trey Young. Trey Young and De'Aaron Fox at the top of that list. Those guys just have stuff that you just can't teach. And same thing with John Morant. He's got athleticism. He's got speed. Those are things that you fundamentally cannot teach in the NBA. He has a leg up over everybody that just from the start. And so that right there for me is huge. And then you put in the fact that they can actually, obviously Trey Young can shoot the hell out of the ball. And that's even more impressive. Again, John Morant, he can shoot the ball. It's not like he cannot shoot the ball. He needs to shoot it with more accuracy and be able to do it repetitively over and over again. But we have seen him be able to do that and shoot the ball in the NCAA tournament. So those are the things that I would prioritize. Again, for me, someone like Lonzo Ball, that shot is broken beyond belief. For me, I'm as said on the show many a times before this year, is that I don't think you can fix a broken shot. I mean, once you get to, you can't technically change it. I mean, we saw that with Markel Fultz. You start trying to technically change things, and it screws up a lot of different stuff. I don't think you can technically change Lonzo Ball's shot, and they're not going to try. And so something like that is just so not technically sound. That for me, doesn't bode well for long term being able to shoot the ball effectively long term. And again, the point guard in this NBA, they have to be able to, in today's NBA, you have to be able to shoot the ball. Look at the top point guards, Steph Curry, Damian Lillard, even Mike Conley. They can shoot the ball from the outside. That's something that you have to be able to do in this NBA. You put in and you put athleticism in there, you put speed in there, and that changes the game drastically. Let's take one more quick break. We'll come back and finish up with the last few questions on today's show. Today's show is brought to you by UNTUCKit. Dads come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their shirts, like tall, short, slim, and relaxed. Ever wonder why your father's button-ups look so long and baggy at the end of the day? It can be hard for guys to pull off a casual, untucked look that isn't sloppy. That's where UNTUCKit comes in. UNTUCKit is the solution that fits just right. Their shirts are specifically designed to look great, untucked, and feel comfortable at work or on the weekend. No tucking or tailor required. Go to untuckit.com, promo code MBA to get 20% off. Go to untuckit.com and use promo code MBA to get 20% off. Welcome back to the show. The last question that I'll do, I got a few about my personal life. I got one on email about my family. That's a pretty easy answer. I think most people who follow me know that I'm married and I have three kids. We have a boy and two daughters, so 9, 4, and 9 months. And so that was pretty easy. So I'll answer that one. The last question I got was about that I'm going to answer was about my career. Let me find the question here. It says, this is from Delicious Meatball Sub. I'm pretty sure you've asked me a question before, and I laugh every time I see your Twitter handle. So shout out to Delicious Meatball Sub. His question was, how did I get into producing and how did I get into doing the podcast? Producing is a long roundabout answer. I started I went to college for film and video production at University of Memphis. And when I started, I actually got a job at Channel 5 WMC TV here in Memphis when I was 19 years old as a teleprompter operator. And from there, I worked there for about 6 years. And then I just started freelancing. Honestly, I took a job at the hospital downtown, and I worked at night so that I could freelance for video and run a production company during the day. And then I got offered a gig for a production company out of Atlanta they do a lot of high school sports. And then I do freelance for the Tigers stuff and stuff in town and stuff out on the West Coast. But, getting into producing or any kind of sports productions is just a lot of hard work, and a lot of knowing who, and it's one of the businesses that it does pay to know people, especially in the film production industry and the sports broadcasting industry. It pays to know people, that hire you. And so over the years, I've just gotten to know different people. Obviously they hire me for different jobs. And then, so producing has changed since I started. From now, I used to be a producer. Now I'm more of a producer, director, technical director. And if you don't know what those are basically directors, obviously, that calls the shots, and then TD is the one that punches the buttons. So, you know, the trucks have gotten smaller over the years, and things have changed. But a lot of stuff's done now is I get hired as a producer/director or something like that. You know, the other half of my time is spent in creative stuff, doing all that freelancing for just different businesses that make, you know, anybody that pays to have a video done, that I can do it. So that's a roundabout answer of how I got into producing. And then the podcast just happened to be a situation where Peter Edmondson and I knew each other before. I covered the Grizzlies for grizzlybearblues.com. I started them a few years ago, doing some video work, writing, stuff like that for Grizzly Bear Blues. Obviously, I'm still with them. And Peter Edison and I got to know each other as covering the games for the Grizzlies, covering the games for Grizzly Bear Blues, going to the games. Peter and I got to know each other. He decided that he was going to concentrate on the athletic and stuff he was doing over there. And then, so he recommended me for the podcast. I interviewed along with a couple other people, and they ended up just giving me the gig. So, again, the podcast is a pretty short thing. It's just, again, knowing people that are also in the industry and, you know, getting those opportunities and just kind of making the most of them. So that's how I got into producing. That's how I got here to where I'm at on Locked On Grizzlies. That's about it. I mean, if you guys have any more questions for Monday mailbag next week, please shoot them over to me. I usually put out a tweet on Sunday so that you can just reply to that tweet, or you can DM them to me. Any of those ways you can get in touch with me. Thanks for listening, and remember you can subscribe to this show on the new Himalaya Podcast app, as well as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. And when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Grizzlies, and it will play the latest episode. Also, if you have a moment, please go rate and review the show in Apple iTunes. It really helps the show in the iTunes rankings, and I would really, really appreciate it if you guys take a moment and do that for me. Again, we're not going to have a show tomorrow. We will take the day off on Tuesday, as we record this on Sunday night. So Tuesday's show will be, there will be no show on Tuesday. We'll be back on Wednesday with Matt Herlicka, a friend of the podcast, has been on a few times, has his own Patreon, and he writes over there. So make sure you check that out as well. We'll be back on Wednesday with Matt Herlicka again. I appreciate you guys subscribing. I appreciate you guys listening. I appreciate the interaction on Twitter. It really is a joy to do the podcast, and hopefully we'll continue to do that. If you still have an unsure or don't know where to go to get the podcast, just go to LockedOnGrizzlies.com.